Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
We're in Treyasar Nachum Perigimel. It's January 22nd. So as we know, Nachum has been talking about the destruction of Nineveh, and here he continues that presentation about the destruction of Nineveh, getting into more detail. Ha'ir damim kula. This is a city of blood. Now this is talking about their terrible ways. Kachash perek meleya. It's a city full of thievery. Lo yamish taref. There's never a time when they don't have stolen goods in the city. They've always have things that they grab and take from other people. Kol shot, the kol ra'ash ofan. It's the sound of shot. Shot comes from the word something to hit with. It says
a whip.
Okay.
For horses.
Yeah. The Mitzvah Sin says it's a staff. But okay, right. The sound of whips, because for horses, for kol rash, or fun, and the sound of the noise of the wheels of a chariot, the sus doher, and the neighing of horses, umer kava merakeda, and the chariots that are literally means dancing, but it means they're moving, they're bouncing around. Parash maale. It's got a lot of cavalry, horse riders. V'lahav cherev uvrak chanis, and the shine of the sword and the glow of the spear. V'rov cholol, and many corpses that they kill. V'choved pager, and there were so... Choved pager is another word for... Pager is another word for corpses. Again, many corpses. Vein ketzer lagivya, there was no boundary for all of the fallen bodies and corpses that they kill. Vikashlu bigvya sam, and there's so many that they trip over the fallen corpses. That's how many people. This is talking about all the bad that Nineveh did. This was Merov Zinunei Zona. This is from the abundance of Zinunei Zona. Zinunei Zona means the prostitution of the prostitutes. But Rashi explains that this means that, as we'll see in the rest of the Pasuk, that the city of Nineveh would pretend to befriend another country, another army. And once they had their trust, they would double-cross them and wipe them out and take over that country. Tovas Chein Balas Kishavim. Tovas Chein, they have a lot of goodness. At least they project Chein, but Balas Kishavim, they are involved in sorcery. Hamocheres Goyim Biznuneha, that she sells or double crosses nations with her prostitution. Umishbachos Bichshafeha, and families with her sorcery. So this is all the bad things that Nineveh did. Now because of this, Hinani Eilayech Nu Mashem Tzfakos, behold, I am against you, says Hashem. V'gileisi Shulayech Al Panayech, I will reveal Shulayech on your face. Shulayech is another word for undergarments, which is we're talking about shaming Nineveh, and it's giving a mashal as if Nineveh were a woman, and it's going to shame her. V'hareisi Goyim Mareich, I will show nations your nakedness. Umamlachos kloneich, and kings your shame, your embarrassment. Vishlachti alaich shikutsim v'nibaltich, I will throw upon you shikutsim, which is things that what's that?
Repulsive,
yeah. And I will make you also repulsed. V'samtich kiroi, and I'll make you like roi. Roi is excrement. V'hayachon ho'ayich yidod mimeich, and it will be everybody who sees you will stay away from you. V'amar, and they will say, shadadan Ninveh. Ninveh has become destroyed. Mi yanu d'la, who could have anything to do with her? Who would want to have anything to do with Ninveh? Me'ayin avakesh menachem imlach, from where will I find any people to console you? No one's going to console you. No one's going to care about you. Hasit vim mino amon. Are you any better than mino amon? Amon is another name for Alexandria in Egypt. And mino means the place where they raised their kings. The kings were schooled and raised, the princes, in Amon, in Alexandria. So it was a prosperous and famous city. So are you any better than Mino Amon? Hayo Shiva Bayo Rim, that sits amongst the rivers, meaning there's a lot of water around it that protects it. Mayim Savivla, there's water all around it. Alexandria is at the mouth of the Nile River, where there's a lot of different waterways that protect it. Asher Chel Yam Miyam Chomasa, that the Chel Yam, meaning Chel is an army. The army of the ocean, from the ocean is its walls. It means that there's a lot of protection because of where it's situated. Kush Atzma Umitzrayim. Kush, its strength, the strength of Kush, they were there to strengthen, the Alexandria was strengthened by Kush, by the Ethiopians, they strengthened it, meaning they were some sort of a treaty, and they were there to help, and Mitzrayim, Vein Ketze, there was no boundary to all of the soldiers they had to protect it, Put Viluvim, and also two other countries, Put and the Luvim, also protected Alexandria, Mino Amon. Hayu Be'ezra Seich, and you're familiar with Put and Luvim, because Put and Luvim were also helping you, Ninveh. So you're familiar with Put and Luvim. Nevertheless, despite the fact that Alexandria had all the natural protection and also other armies, still, Gamhila Gola Halcha Bashevi, also Alexandria, went into Golos. They were taken captive. Gam Olaleha Yirutishu Birosh Kochutzos, also her young children were scattered about on all the streets, meaning that they were killed and they were lying about the streets. Valnich Badeha Yadu Gorol, and the honored ones of Amon were also the Gorol, the lottery, the lots went against them as well. V'chol Gidoleha Rutku Vazikim, and all of its great ones, they were Rutku means they were poured in chains. They were put in chains. Gamat, so that's what happened to Alexandria. Are you any better than them? Gamat Tishkiri, also you will become drunk, which means you're going to be conquered. Tihi Na'alama, you will also be lost. Gamat Tivakshima Oz Meoyev, also you are going to be seeking strength to try to get away from the enemy, but it's not going to help. Komiv Tsarayich Teinim Imbikurim, all of your fortified cities are going to be like figs that are in bikurim, that are with the first fruits. What is that analogy? The analogy is im yinou, if they shake the tree. So what happens is the bikurim, when they're very ripe, when you shake the tree, they'll fall off. So v'naflu al pi ochel, they'll fall directly into the mouths of the ones who want to eat it. We're not really an agricultural society, but if you're used to that sort of thing, you can go over to a tree like that and shake it, the fruits will come right down. So that's going to be what Ninveh is going to be like. It's going to be very easy for the conquerors to get the fruit.
What's the relationship between Alexandria and Ninveh? I'm sorry, I don't know.
Because apparently Alexandria was a very powerful city that was conquered.
And relative to Ninveh? Did Ninveh conquered it?
No.
Alexander conquered. I don't know.
It was conquered. It was conquered by Bavel. By
just to say, if they were conquered, in other words, you could be conquered too.
Oh, so right. Not really. There's no relationship between them.
There may be. There may be, but there doesn't have to be. The Psukim are just saying.
It's a city, that's a strong city.
Yeah, that's right. Right. That they were familiar with.
But Nineveh was north of Israel and Alexandria was south
correct.
Of Israel.
That's correct.
Does that help you?
No, I didn't know if like Alexandria conquered Nineveh at one point or.
No, no.
But they both tried to conquer Israel at one point.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can say that better.
Pasuk Gimel, verse 13. Hine amech nashim bekirbeich. Behold, your nation will be like women in your midst, which means they will be their your army will be weak like women. Lo yevayich for your enemies, pasach niftechu sharei artzeich. The gates of your land will be opened wide. Achla esh berichayich, fire will consume your bolts, the bolts of your gates that would keep them locked. May matzor shavilach, waters of being besieged, you should draw for yourself. A city that knows they're going to be under siege prepares with a lot of bottled water. If they don't have an actual water source, then they need water, so they prepare with a lot of water. So you should draw for yourself a lot of water for being besieged. Chazki mivtzarayich, you should strengthen your fortifications. Boi vatit virimsi vachomer hachaziki malbein. You should come with mortar. Well, I'm sorry, tit is plaster, and you should smear mortar and strengthen with bricks. You should need all kinds of things to protect yourselves. Sham tochlech esh, there you will be consumed by fire. Tachriseich cherev, you will be cut off by the sword. Tochlech kayolek, you will be consumed as if the enemy were grasshoppers, were locusts. They'll descend upon you. Hiskabed kayelek hiskabdi karbe. So you will be completely wiped clean as with different types of locusts. Yelek is one type of locust. Arbe is another type of locust. You're going to be completely wiped clean and completely wiped out. Here, Beis Rochlaich, you've increased, you've had many merchants, Mikochvei Hashamayim, more than the stars of the heavens. You, Nineveh, you've enriched yourselves. You have a lot of merchants, a lot of wealth, yet Yelek Pashat Vayaof, they are going to disappear like a grasshopper that spreads its wings and flies away. Suddenly you're going to lose all that wealth. It's going to disappear. Minizarayich ka'arbe v'tafsarayich kagov govai. You've had leadership, again, abundant like locusts. And again, another word for leadership, also another word for locusts. You have all these, you have so much leadership in your city. But this is what's going to happen. It's going to be like this. Hachonim bagderos biyom kara, that they dwell in hordes on a cold day. The locusts will kind of bunch together on a wall on a cold day. But then shemesh zarcha v'nodeid, but then the sun shines and they disappear, they disperse. And their place is no longer known where they are. As soon as the sun comes up, they scatter and disappear. And so too, you're going to lose all of your leadership. They're going to suddenly disappear. Namuroecha melech Ashur. Your shepherds have fallen asleep, king of Ashur. Meaning those who are supposed to be protecting the city. Yishkenu adirecha, your strong ones will be lying down. Nafoshu amcha al heharim, your nation has scattered onto the mountains. Ve'in mekabetz, no one is there to gather them. Ein keha lishivrecha, there is no one is sad or crying over your being broken. Nachla makasecha, about your being struck, your wounds. Nobody cares. People hear about this and they're not upset about it at all. Kol shomei shimacha, all who hear what happened to you, taku chaf alecha, they clap their hands about you in glee. They're thrilled that you've been punished. Ki amilo avar ascha tamid, because upon whom did your evil not go upon all the time? You've been so cruel to people around you, nobody cares, and everybody's happy that you are finally destroyed. So Nachum, all three prakim of Nachum, are about the destruction of Nineveh, the ultimate destruction of Nineveh, which is the capital city of Ashur. Now, yeah.
So, it's usually the men who are in charge of these cities and doing, you know, or leading the bad, but yet all the descriptions of horrible stuff is the women. They're the harlots, they're the ones that have soiled garments, and they're awake like women.
I hate to tell you this, behind every evil man there's an evil woman. Just like behind every good man there's a good woman. There's an evil man, there's an evil woman too.
Is there anywhere where it describes something evil in male terms?
Well, it talked about it here too. It talked about the corpses and it talked about, you know, that, well, other things
corpses
too.
Corpses doesn't mean male, it could be female corpses too.
Right, the theft, the sword, all that stuff is male.
You know,
that's all. Yeah.
Is there any chance that the people from Nineveh actually heard it? This Nebuah was transmitted to them at all?
It doesn't say that.
Did this prediction come true?
Yeah. Somewhere we're going to talk about that. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nivra.
Last week you explained that the reason why we talk about the punishment of the enemies is because we're in Golos and because we don't see the Sfar Onesh, and so therefore it brings it out and then we understand it, right?
That is a reason, yeah.
This wasn't in Golos. Right?
That's true, but even
Nebuah wasn't given a Golos, and also like this week's Haftarah again to talk about.
Yeah.
So
it is a form of the MS of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that enemies are being punished, that Rishayim get punished. That is the way the world is supposed to work. That's a good thing.
I think that perhaps because we Baruch Hashem don't deal with enemies every day, so, and also maybe our whole society, you know, we want to be nice, you want to be, whatever. And I was thinking about like in Shemoneh Esrei, we also asked for the punishment of the enemies. So it's really a big thing, and it's not so real to us.
Schar v'onesh.
That's all it is about schar v'onesh?
That's the foundation of everything. The whole.
But we don't have to ask Hashem to do schar v'onesh. Hashem does it. You know, like
we ask Him. We ask Him in Shemoneh Esrei, right?
Alamashim
for punishment. Alat tzadikim. Al chasidim.
I think it's partly cultural because I also found it, you know, it's like David also asked Hashem to destroy his enemies and, you know, bring them down. And I guess, I don't, like you say, we try to be nice to people.
Well, like at the Seder, you know,
we're not nice to, I mean, we have no...
We shouldn't be nice to the enemy, but I'm saying it's just sort of built into the psyche that we don't...
But, you know, like, on the Seder, we say, Masim, Masay Yadar, Tuvim Bayam, Bad, you know, and then we're going
to... That was said to the Malachim. That wasn't said to the Klaiso. Klaiso said Shira. That was to the Malachim. Klal Yisrael said Az Yashir.
Right. So that was to the Malachim. So like we don't have complete simcha at the...
Okay, all right. Okay.
But really, we do have simcha, but not so much.
It does bring out the hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It shows that He is, you know, Kel Nekamas Hashem, Kel Nekamas Sophia. Hashem is a Hashem that takes revenge.
But even David Hanochai is in some many areas.
Many times.
Ashur and other, they'll get punished. Hashem is going to bring his wrath
many
upon
times, many times.
But I'm curious, why the locusts? You know, Mitzrayim, one of the ten Makkos is locusts. Even it's north.
Yeah.
It's interesting why locusts.
Yeah, yeah. He uses it a lot over here. I'm not sure why. Mm-hmm. Now, if you go back to the first parak of Nachum, first pasuk actually.
In this parak or?
No, the first parak.
Aleph.
The first pasuk in Nachum. So there, the language is Masa Ninvei, which means a nevuah about Ninvei, Sefer Chazon Nachum Ho'el Koshi, the book of the vision of Nachum Ho'el Koshi. So the Mefarshim say over here that there's two parts to Nachum. There is Masa Ninvei, that's the nevuah about Ninvei, and then there is the book of the vision of Nachum. Now, it's not clear from Nachum when he lived. He obviously lived when Nineveh existed, but it is unclear. The Chazal say that he lived during the time of the king Menashe, who is the son of Chizkiyahu, which is after Ashur took the 10 tribes into Golos. So we saw, we know that Sanherev, who was the king of Ashur, that his army was decimated after he took the 10 tribes into Golus, that his army was decimated in the days of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. We talked about that before in the beginning when we started talking about Nineveh. We know that happened. We know that then, that Sanherib himself was killed by his own sons, but Nineveh was not yet destroyed. There still was a city of Nineveh, and they were there. We also know that earlier Yonah had prophesied about Nineveh, and they did a modicum of tshuva. And we read about that on Yom Kippur. But that was before all of this. Nineveh went back to its evil ways, and ultimately they are destroyed. Now the ultimate destruction of Nineveh comes at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, which happens right before he conquers Eretz Yisrael, which we talked about that as well. So it would seem then that Nahum's Nevuah is about Nebuchadnezzar conquering Nineveh. That's what it seems. I want to read to you what the Malbim says over here about the destruction of Nineveh and the two parts of the book of Nahum. Now, the Malbim makes the two parts, the demarcation line between the second and third prakim. That the first two prakim is the first part of Nahum, and the third parak that we read tonight is the second part of Nahum. As you'll see, the way he breaks it down is not the way we learned it last week, because Rashi doesn't say it exactly this way. But conceptually, even if you draw the line in a different place in the book of Nahum, it still works out that there's two different destructions that Nahum is talking about. So let me read to you what he says. Says the Malbim, it's a little lengthy, I'll translate as I go along over here. I know you don't have it in front of you. Hasefer hazeh nechlak l'shnayim. This book is divided up into two. Echad nikra b'shem Masa Nineveh. One is referred to as Masa Nineveh, the Nevuah about Nineveh. Vehem ha-Nevuos shel Simon Aleph v'Simon Beis. That's the Nevuos in Perak Aleph and Perak Beis. V'asheni hu sefer chazon shel Nahum. And the second part is the vision of Nahum. V'hi ha-Nevuah shel b'Simon Gimel. That's the Nevuah in Perak Gimel that we learned tonight. Ki Nineveh nechreva shtei pamim. For Nineveh was destroyed twice. The first part is talking about the first destruction of Nineveh. That happened either before Nahum's lifetime or during his lifetime. But the second Nevuah of Nahum is for the future. Asher chaza churban hasheni shel Nineveh, that he saw the second destruction of Nineveh, shahaya bishana harishona shel malchus Nebuchadnezzar, that happened in the first year of the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, shebo nechrava lagamri, that's when it was completely destroyed. So, in other words, the Malbim is saying, there's two different destructions of Nineveh that are being described by Nahum. The first one was a destruction which happened either during Nahum's lifetime or right before his lifetime, which is during the reign of Menasheh. The second one happens years later, and that is when Nebuchadnezzar comes to power in Babel, and the first year that he came to power, he conquered Nineveh and totally destroyed Nineveh. The next year he conquered Yerushalayim. But that is a second destruction. Now, the reason why I say Rashi didn't explain it this way, exactly the way that the Malbim does, is because last week, which was in the second parak, Rashi was already referencing Nebuchadnezzar. The Malbim would say the second parak has nothing to do with Nebuchadnezzar. That the first two prakim are not the destruction of Nineveh at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. That's only the parak we learned tonight. The third parak would be Nebuchadnezzar. So what I'm saying is that even if you want to draw the line in a different place in Nahum, Rashi could still agree conceptually to the Malbim that there are two different destructions being described. One is the first one, which happened at an earlier date, either during Nahum's lifetime or a little bit before, and then at a certain point, the Nevuah switches over to describing the ultimate destruction of Nineveh at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar later on after the life of Nahum. Now, the Malbim goes on to say, Vinei churban Nineveh hasheni, Shahaya Idei Nebuchadnezzar, the second destruction of Ninveh, which was the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, Matsonu B'divrei Chazal. That is mentioned in the Gemara. It's mentioned in the Gemara in Megillah, describes, as I told you, that the first year that Nebuchadnezzar rose to power, he conquered Ninveh. That's already described. Avuchorban Harishon, but the first destruction, Lo Nimtza B'Sifrei Chachamein. We don't find that in the Gemara or in the Medrash. It does not discuss the first destruction of Ninveh. Rakhudavar Muskam Misupar Bechol Koros Divrahiyam Kadmonim. Rather, it is something that is agreed upon, that is told over in all of the chronicles and histories that you read about, that there was a previous destruction of Ninveh. Now, he goes on, Velud Divrahim, he goes on to quote a history of that area, and including kings' names, which I don't know how to pronounce, Sardanapal, Melech Ashur, Haya. That there was this king, Sardanapal, and he goes on to describe how this king, there was intrigue, and there was a broken treaty, etc., and eventually this king was conquered, his army was wiped out, Ninveh was taken over, etc. So the Malbim is saying that that happened either during Nahum's lifetime or a little before, and there was a huge, terrible destruction that went on in Ninveh, but it didn't completely wipe out Ninveh. Then there was a respite, and then later, when Nebuchadnezzar rose to power, he began by completely razing Ninveh. Ninveh was just wiped off the map by Nebuchadnezzar. And that's the second destruction of Ninveh described in Nahum. So if we now have, this is a fascinating thing, because what we have is, if you take the Nevi'im, you take the Nevuah of Yonah, you take the Nevuah of Yeshaya, who describes what goes on with Sancheriv and Ashur and Chizkiyahu HaMelech. You take the Nevuah of Nahum. You take the Nevi'im, the Sefer of Malachim, and you take Divrei Hayamim. All of those describe different parts of Ninveh and what happens with Ninveh. You put all of that together, and you end up with a picture of Ninveh that works as follows. And I'm going to actually back it up even further. Ninveh is mentioned for the first time where? In Bereishis. In Parashas Noach. In Parashas Noach, when the Torah is describing the 70 nations that came from the children of Noach, so in describing the 70 nations, there's a reference made to Migdal Bavel, the Tower of Bavel, which is a separate story told later in the Chumash, but even before we get to it in the Chumash, it's referenced when the Torah goes through the sons of Shem, Ham, and Yefes. So in that description, there's a few psukim about Nimrod. Nimrod, who was the king, and he was the one who was in charge of Migdal Bavel. So the Torah tells us in Parshas Noach, V'chush yoladis Nimrod, Kush, he had Nimrod, Huhei Chelios Gibor Baretz, he was the first to be a strong one in the land, which means someone to rebel against Hashem. Huhayag Gibor Tzayit Lifnei Hashem, he was a strong hunter before Hashem. Al Kenye Amar, therefore it is said, Ki Nimrod Gibor Tzayit Lifnei Hashem, those who rebel against Hashem are considered like Nimrod. V'atihi Reishis Mamlachto Bavel, the beginning of his kingdom was Bavel, which is where Migdal Bavel was built, of course. Ve'erech ve'akad ve'chalnei be'eretz Shinar, these other provinces in the land of Shinar, which is Bavel. Min ha'aretz ha'hi yatsa Ashur. From that land, Ashur was a person. just like Mitzrayim was a person, just like Canaan was a person, they eventually they became names of nations and names of countries. But Ashur was a person. Ashur left that place. Vayiven is Nineveh, and he built Nineveh. Ves Rechavosir, Ves Kalach, and Rechavosir and Kalach, and Resen, Ves Resen, Bein Nineveh, Bein Kalach. He also built Resen between Nineveh and Kalach. He, Ha'ir HaGedola, Nineveh was the great city. Ashur built Nineveh. Rashi tells us, why did Ashur leave that place? Why did he leave Bavel, which is where Nimrod was, and Nimrod was building Migdal Bavel, the Tower of Bavel? Rashi tells us, Kivan Shira Ashur Ezbanav, Shomin le Nimrod. Once Ashur saw his own children were listening to Nimrod, Umardin Bamakom Livnos HaMigdal, and they were rebelling against Hashem to build the tower, Yatsa Mitocham, he left, and he built Nineveh, which is here, Ki Ha'ir HaGedola, it's the big city, which is Nineveh, as it says in Yonah, V'Nineveh Ha'isa Ir Gedola Le'elokim, was a great big city for Hashem. So Nineveh was founded by a person who was getting away from a rebellion against Hashem. Nineveh's foundation was actually a positive one, a good one. The person who built it was actually getting away from rebelliousness against Hashem. What country was he getting away from? Bavel. Now, it wasn't the Bavel of Nebuchadnezzar, but it was the same location. That's where Migdal Bavel was Nimrod. Bavel is a place that was founded upon rebellion against Hashem. Ashur was founded, Nineveh was founded, as a place of getting away from rebellion against Hashem. And that was built by Ashur. Now, fast forward, that's all well before... That's well before there's a Klal Yisrael. This is in the days of Avraham Avinu. This is way back. Fast forward, and we have Klal Yisrael being formed. We have the major, major power of the world being Mitzrayim, rising to power and eclipsing everybody else. I'm sorry, even before that, we have Nimrod and others forming the four kings. Nimrod was one of the four kings. So, he is Amraphel. So he's one of the four kings, and they are the major power of the world, which Abraham defeats. He defeats them. Later, the major seat of power of the world shifts to Mitzrayim under Yosef's rule, and Mitzrayim becomes the most powerful country by far in the world. They are in turn destroyed essentially by the Makos, by Hashem, because of us. And then we come into Eretz Yisrael, and we emerge over time as the most powerful nation in the world, which coalesces under Shlomo HaMelech. Then our kingdom splits, unfortunately, and we start to decline. And there's times where we're stronger, times that we're weaker. But Ashur emerges as a very powerful country. And Ashur becomes the country that is the go-to country to punish Klal Yisrael when Klal Yisrael is not behaving properly. Why would that be? Because at the end of the day, although, of course, Ashur, Nineveh, they're nowhere as great as Klal Yisrael. They're not tzaddikim like we are. But they are a cut above the rest of the nations of the world. Yonah is sent to Nineveh. Yonah isn't sent to Mitzrayim. Yonah isn't sent to Bavel. Yonah isn't sent to other nations to tell them to shape up or they'll be punished. He's sent to Nineveh. Because ultimately, Nineveh does have a spark that it was founded on something positive. And therefore, they become, in many ways, when Klal Yisrael is not behaving properly, Nineveh becomes the foil. Nineveh becomes the example of, hey, one second, you know, there is a group of non-Jews that did something sort of good, that and that's what Yonah is afraid of. Yonah doesn't want Nineveh to do tshuva, because that will look bad for Klal Yisrael. Mitzrayim doing tshuva, first of all, they probably wouldn't. But even if they would, it wouldn't necessarily make Klal Yisrael look bad, because Mitzrayim itself is founded on such decadence. But Nineveh is not. So Nineveh ultimately can make Klal Yisrael look bad, which is what Yonah doesn't want. So, but Yonah does go to Nineveh, and Nineveh does do some degree of tshuva. Now, it's not a full tshuva, but there is some tshuva going over there, on over there, to the point that we read it on Yom Kippur. It is one of the primary examples in Tanakh of people who were supposed to be destroyed, did tshuva, and were not destroyed. There's very, very few other such clear examples of how tshuva works as Nineveh. Nineveh then, after that story, declines, and Sanherib rises to power. But again, since the northern kingdom is not behaving properly, Hashem brings Sanherib against the northern kingdom, and he is able to essentially wipe them out. I mean, he doesn't kill them all, he takes them to Golis, but they're gone. They're finished. They're out. They are basically being supplanted by Nineveh/Ashur. That's what happens. But then he comes against Chizkiyahu in Yerushalayim. Well, Chizkiyahu was almost Mashiach. Chizkiyahu learns Torah day and night. Chizkiyahu davens to Hashem. Chizkiyahu is a huge tzaddik. There's no way that Ashur is going to hold a candle against Chizkiyahu. And in fact, just the opposite. Hashem decimates this massive army of Sanherib, and Sanherib himself is killed by his own sons because of trying to fight with Chizkiyahu, which we made was out of line. That should not have been done. But Nineveh survives. Nineveh as a place survives. Nineveh is not going to get wiped out so easily, because they do have a zchus. They were founded on something positive. That positive foundation is hard to wipe out. And even though they didn't behave properly, but they're still there. And they continue to behave in an evil manner. So Hashem brings another destruction against Nineveh, which is what the Malbim is describing, is the first destruction talked about by Nachum. Nachum describes a destruction of Nineveh that took place, but it doesn't wipe them off the map. It's a terrible destruction, but it doesn't wipe them off the map. And then finally, they continue with their evil ways, That zchus that Nineveh was founded on is finally exhausted. And when Nebuchadnezzar comes to power, Nineveh is wiped off the face of the earth, and Nebuchadnezzar becomes, Bavel becomes the most powerful country in the world, eventually destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, Nineveh's zechus came from pulling out of where? Bavel. It is Bavel, in poetic justice, that comes back and wipes out Nineveh. Because when Nineveh does not live up to its zechus, they exhaust their zechus and they are lost. So we find Nineveh, and no other country, no other foreign country, do we find a history like this in the Nevi'im of zechus and going down, and tshuva and going down, and a warning, etc., etc. It's only Nineveh that we find this, and it seems because Nineveh did have some amount of zechus that they were able to build on, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with, and Nachum is the sefer that closes the book on Nineveh. You have a question?
I have two questions. One, then how come Bavel exists longer than Nineveh? Because Bavel wasn't, their foundation was horrible. But they exist longer, so that bothers me. If what you're saying is true, then how did they have a zchus to last that long?
Yeah.
And number two, how does this midrash of Paro being king of Nineveh fit in with any
that
of
I don't,
three?
That I don't know. The Paro being, because if that's true, it's because he did some sort of a tshuva after the whole thing.
What point in time was he doing there?
That I don't know. Would mean he lived a very long time.
Yeah.
To answer your first question, though, Bavel is not the same country each time. It's not the same. In the time of Nimrod, It was one group of people, and now it's another group of people. It's the Kastim. They were a weak country. They weren't anything special until Nebuchadnezzar.
So you can't. Geographical.
It's the same geographical place, yeah. But you can't count them as heaven. They were nothing. They were nobody until Nebuchadnezzar comes along.
And nobody changed the name. They all kept the name.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't think the Babel is that's
isn't Nineveh going to come around again?
It doesn't say. It was like they're wiped out. If they're wiped out, they're not around to come around.
Well, you know, one remnant, the Amalek, made a whole new thing, so.
It's true. That's a good point.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.